in January. I would like to speak about the seriousness, commitment, determination to serve the Lord. We've heard this before, but reminders are good, especially at the beginning of a new year. How committed are we to the Lord? How determined are we to give the best of our lives to Him? And the Lord deserves the best. Jesus was very serious and committed and determined to go to the cross for us. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 reads, "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up," in other words, be crucified, "he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Jerusalem is where the people were that gave him all the trouble. Jesus was very committed and determined to endure the intense suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was determined and committed to survive the awful scourging for us. He was determined and committed to carry his cross after that most awful beating, the scourging, so that he could be crucified for us. Jesus knew the opposition and death sentence that he would face at Jerusalem. Yet he was determined and very serious about giving his life for us. Jesus was so serious and determined about giving his life for us that although he could have come down from the cross at any time, he didn't. That's how serious Jesus was about giving his life for us. He had 6 hours to change his mind and all that most awful, unbelievable pain, but he didn't. How serious should we be about our walk and commitment to him? As Jesus gave his best to us, his blood, his life, we want to give our best to him. If we could turn to Joshua chapter 24, and we will begin at verse 1. Joshua chapter 24, and beginning at verse 1. Joshua chapter 24 and beginning at verse 1. "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave I gave Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand. And you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent a hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, Be it far, or far be it from us, that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and who did these great things in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we were among, in which we went among the, all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. So when it mentions the river in the beginning of this chapter, the river refers to the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River flows through Syria and Iraq, joins the Tigris River, and empties into the Persian Gulf. At this time in Israelite history, the people of Israel were already in the Promised Land. So you have a setting. Yet God had to give them this stern message. We may have been serving the Lord for many years, but from time to time, the Lord has to wake us up to our condition. Are we determined, as was Joshua, that we could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? God spoke through his servant Joshua to remind them of all he had done for them in order to bring them into the Promised Land. The Lord has taken us through trials, sicknesses, other difficult times in life. Where is our love, commitment, determination to please and serve him? The Lord has done so much for us. Where is our determination, our love, our commitment to please and serve the Lord? Jesus has given us everything we need in life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 reads, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Shall supply all your need. And he's given us our wants also. Where is our love, commitment, and devotion to him? Jesus gave his blood, his life, for the healing of our bodies, soul, and spirits. Where is our love, our sincere commitment and determination to please and serve him? The Lord has given us the hope of eternal heaven with him. Where is our love, sincere commitment, and devotion to him? If you could turn with me to Psalm 103, just a couple of verses, verses 1 to 5, Psalm 103 and verses 1 to 5. It speaks about what the Lord is always doing for us. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. starts out so beautifully. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God does all this for us. Where is our love, our commitment, and determination to please and serve him? Are we committed? Where is our devotion to him? Are we committed to the Lord as was the Hebrew slave to his master? Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, I'll read it to you. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Are we ready to go to the doorpost this morning? Good question. Are we ready to go to the doorpost this morning? Are we really committed to our Master Jesus, to love him with all our heart, to be seriously and totally committed to him, and to be determined that we will never leave him? When we accepted the Lord into our lives, we said that we would serve him all the days of our lives. We said in the baptismal tank. But are we genuinely committed to Jesus that we will serve him all the days of our lives? Are we serving the Lord the way he deserves to be served? This morning, is our commitment to the Lord genuine or on shaky ground? Are our priorities, in life reflecting a sincere, wholehearted commitment to Jesus? Here comes a good question. Does Jesus come before all else in life? Ouch. Does Jesus come before all else in life? I mean, everything goes for me too. So I have to take the biggest bite out of this message. I am never exempt from what I'm saying to you. The first of the Ten Commandments is, you shall have no other gods before me. Nothing should come between us and God. Nothing. Is our attention, our focus, our love on Jesus or something or someone else? We need to really examine ourselves this morning. We should be committed not to an earthly Lord, but to the only sovereign Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should be committed to the only one who was determined to die for our eternal salvation. What God do you know who would come to earth in form of a man and die for man, the only part of his creation that sinned and rebelled against him? So Jesus said, I'll stop them from spending an eternity in hell. I'll give my life for them. I'll experience a physical death for them, just so that they don't have to spend eternity in hell. Shouldn't we be seriously committed, devoted to him, giving him our best? If we are going to be committed to anyone, it doesn't get any better than the most serious and total commitment to Jesus. This morning, we need to ask ourselves in a spiritual sense, has our ear been pierced? Is our greatest commitment to Jesus or someone or something else? If our ear has not been pierced, we need to really get to know Jesus. This is so important, what I'm about to say. If we genuinely know who Jesus is and all that he means to us, we would be very willing to get our ear pierced, to be totally committed to him, and certainly would not want any other master. Once you experience Jesus, you won't want any other master in life. You won't want anyone else but him. And there is a command against idolatry. In his command to the people of Israel, Joshua instructed the people to put away the gods which your father served. You may think, I don't serve or worship other gods. Anything that comes between you and God is an idol. If something comes between you and God, it is first in your life and not God, who should be first. Therefore, it is an idol. And the Lord, from the Old Testament through the New, is against idolatry. Seriously against idolatry. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Again, the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. I want to read the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. How God should be first in our lives. The words of Jesus. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Another way to put it, the way Brother Victor Lombardo used to put it, no one else died for you. We need to examine our lives to see what may have come between us and God. What has come between us and our devotion, our service, our commitment to the Lord? These things sneak in. Very unnoticeable, but they sneak in to our lives, these things that come between us and the Lord. What has come between us and our devotion, our service, our commitment to the Lord? What has become more important than our devotion, our service, our commitment to God? Whatever that person, social event, or priority is, has become an idol. Have electronic devices, electronic programs taken the place and the time that should be spent in the house of the Lord? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to give our best efforts, our devotion to the Lord and not to an idol. Whatever idols or improper values we may have in our lives should be placed on an altar of sacrifice. The hymn that we sing, "Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid?" Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We have to get so serious with the Lord, so much more serious with the Lord in our service to him, in our relationship with him. Will God be first in your life or an idol? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, we read, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. We need to remove the idols and the distractions from our lives. Will we hold on to the doctrines and values of political correctness that are advocated in our current society? Or will we hold fast to the doctrines and values of Jesus Christ, who knows why he gave the doctrine. It's the only right way in life. Will the Lord be first in your life, or the doctrines and values of government and society? We should and need to honestly examine our lives to see if there is something that is coming between us and God, an idol. As we said, these things creep up in our lives and they're unnoticeable. And yet we have to check our lives out and see, is there something coming up in our lives becoming an idol? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, is something in our life that has become an idol. Sometimes we don't notice it. We need the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, then ask for the grace of God and the help to get rid of the idol. God should be first. As Brother Victor said, no one else died for you. We want to ask the Lord to reveal any idols that we may have. How serious is our walk with the Lord this morning? How determined are we to have a more serious and sincere commitment to Him? Luke chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus said, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter in and will not be able." Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Circumspectly means heeding the consequences. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And if Paul said the days are evil back then around 60 AD, what would he say now in the year 2022? Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." In our walk with the Lord, we cannot be neutral. Those words are so important. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And just sometimes we have to tell ourselves, never mind what someone else is doing, what is our walk with the Lord like? How is the Lord looking on us? And as we said, in our walk with the Lord, we cannot be neutral. We cannot have one foot in the ways of the Lord and one foot in the world. This doesn't work. Either we are serving the Lord or we are not. There is no in between. Either we are serving the Lord or we're not. How serious is our commitment to the Lord this morning? The days are evil. Times are getting worse. And I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom. I'm just talking about what you also see on the news. Days are evil. We need a serious commitment to the Lord. Remember what the Apostle Peter said? The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need a serious and sincere commitment to the Lord, knowing that. He's not going to come with horns and a pitchfork, but he's seeking whom he may devour. If you really know Jesus and you really love him, you will be very serious about your commitment to him. If you really get to know Jesus, you can't turn away from him. You will have. The more you know Jesus, the more serious is going to be your commitment to him. Because there's no one like him in your life. No one could ever compare, as we sang this morning. The more you know him, the more you're going to love him. The more you know him, the more you're going to be committed to him. And when you get to know him, you really get to know him, there is no way you could let go of him. No way you could let go of him. In our walk with the Lord, we cannot rest on past experiences or past blessings. we need to seriously move forward with Jesus. We may have given our lives to the Lord many years ago, but looking back, how much of our lives do we really give to Jesus? As I said, we all said yes to Jesus in that baptismal service, in that baptismal tank, but how much of our lives do we really give to Him? How serious is our walk with Jesus? A person may say that he or she accepted or committed his or her life to the Lord at the time of water baptism. But what is your commitment, your devotion to the Lord like today? Is He first in your life, your top priority? Or have idols developed? Has something in our lives developed to which we are giving more attention, a higher priority than we give to the Lord? Are we primarily committed to an idol, whatever that may be, or to God? We say, no, I don't have an idol. I'm committed to God. Ask the Holy Spirit to put the fleshlight on your soul. Jesus didn't come to earth with a half-hearted love for us. He gave His best, His blood, His life, His love, all His love for us. Are we going to give just a part or only half of our heart, our commitment, our devotion to the Lord? Or are we going to give all of ourselves, our most sincere commitment and devotion, our best to Him? Is Jesus really Lord of our lives? Someone may be thinking, why do I ask that question? Because how much of our lives have we seriously committed and devoted to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? This morning, as we are beginning of a new year, we want to make a most loving and loyal decision to give our absolute best to the Lord and be totally serious about our commitment, our devotion, and our dedication to Him. And I'll stop there. We're going to get down to pray. If someone could lead us in a word of prayer.